Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. This is God's Word. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is the very conclusion of Paul's letter. He's going to write another letter to the church in Thessalonica that we can study another time. But this is the conclusion of this first letter. And this, as we mentioned before, is probably the oldest of the epistles, the one that Paul wrote before he wrote the others. In concluding, he has a series of instructions. And right in the middle of those instructions, he says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The main point today is this: when you aren't sure what to do, do what God has already told all of us to do. You see, sometimes we get really focused on a decision. I need to know, am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do that? Should I go here or not go? Or should I go somewhere else? Am I supposed to try and develop a relationship with this person? Or should I be more focused on this right now? There are all kinds of decisions. Life is filled with them. And if you take seriously what God tells us, we are not to trust in our own understanding. We're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not depending on our intellect. I'll figure it out. I'm smart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Doesn't mean you don't use your mind. God gave you that mind to use. One of the ways you're to love him is with your mind. So it's not saying just turn off your brain and be a good Christian. What it's saying is don't rely on your own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord. and in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways, in all these decisions. Lord, would you have me do this? If you want me to do something different, show me what you want me to do. But sometimes you come to a fork in the road and it's like, boy, I don't know. Am I supposed to do this or am I supposed to do that? Or did I miss a turn back there? What am I supposed to do? When you aren't sure what to do, do what God has already told all of us to do. And here's a whole list of things. Here's a whole bunch of stuff that God is telling not just the believers in Thessalonica, but this is his word for his people. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Did you know that within the human heart, in our unregenerate condition, and still some scar tissue in our new lives, there is a tendency to disrespect people who are over us? I know that's shocking. But there is a tendency to start looking at their flaws. And they have them. They have them. I don't care who it is. We're flawed. We're imperfect. And we can begin to notice those things and focus on those things. And instead of saying, wow, I need to pray for that person, we start to think, you know, who are they to be telling me what to do? They're not perfect. Well, no, they're not perfect. But God didn't put them over you because they were perfect. He put them over you because he's in the process of perfecting you. And you needed to have some rough spots rubbed off. And that imperfect person may be the perfect instrument to clean you up. Suffice it to say, this is not a suggestion. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. What does it mean, admonish? It means they're giving you instruction. Okay, they're telling you what you need to do. That's when it's hard to respect them. Because we don't want to change. We don't want to have to do what they say. Do you understand that God puts you in situations for your good, where you can learn from people who don't know everything? If you ever get in a position where the person over you thinks they know everything, you'll have a much harder time learning. The main thing you can learn from that person is not to be like that. Okay? And sometimes God will do that. He'll give you a boss or a teacher who is nuts. Okay? I mean, it's true. Think about King David. His first employer other than his dad was King Saul. And the reason he was hired was because King Saul had kind of gone nuts. And he had these episodes where he was out of his mind. And that's what David was called in to help with. How would you like that? The guy's your boss, but the reason you've been hired is because he's crazy. Seriously. Well, could be worse. He could be the king. Oh, he was. Okay, so he was the employer and he was the ruler of the country. Whew, that's tough. What could make it worse? Well, he became David's father-in-law. And, of course, he was the father of David's best friend. So this is a very complicated relationship. But if you think David didn't learn from that experience, then you didn't read the story well. God put David in that situation as preparation for the day that he would be the king. And he had to spend 8 years on the run, but throughout that time, David always treated him with respect. And when he had the opportunity to kill the guy who was trying to kill him, he didn't. He didn't. He treated him with respect. Now, he didn't pretend the man wasn't crazy, but he also didn't pretend that that craziness meant the guy wasn't the king. And David served him well.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me.
Now, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love. In love. You're to love them. But they're difficult. They're not just imperfect, Pastor. They are really, you don't know my boss. Well, do you love them? Love them? I can't stand them. Well, you're supposed to love your enemies. Don't you think that would include the person that the Lord has put over you? I suppose so. Okay, well, get with the program. Well, I'm looking for a new job. Totally legit. But meanwhile, maybe God's not going to give you that new job until you learn to love the person who he put over you. Then live in peace with each other. Now, that's a very succinct statement. Your job is to be at peace with others. I thank God that he expands this in his letter to the Romans, where he says, if possible, inasmuch as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay, that's two very important qualifiers. Sometimes it is not possible, and the reason is because it doesn't just depend on you. Okay? If the other person is determined not to be at peace with you, you can't feel guilty. You shouldn't feel guilty for the fact that that relationship is not peaceful. But inasmuch as it depends on you, you should be at peace with them. That's what God says. Live at peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. What does idle mean? Well, if I'm in my non-hybrid vehicle and I'm sitting at a traffic light, what is my engine doing? It is idling. It's running. The engine is running, but it's not engaged in moving me from place to place. It's just running, waiting, okay? There are some people who live their lives in park, okay? They live their lives just idling. You know, the heart's still beating, they're still breathing, they're still using up oxygen, but they're not really doing anything. Some people think that's the goal. Some people think, man, my goal is to retire early. I want to just not, I can sleep as late as I want. I can do whatever I want, which in my case means probably nothing. That's terrible. We're to warn those who are idle. What do you warn them? You say, this is not pleasing to God. God says you're to work 6 days and rest one. Now, you are supposed to rest one. It's not okay to be a workaholic. You're supposed to be able to take breaks. But breaks from what? Breaks from work. Well, Pastor Wood, do you not plan on ever retiring? I plan on serving the Lord however he directs as long as I can. My voice is not what it used to be. And one of these days, I'm going to be thinking I probably need to draw the speaking to a close. I mean, I used to be able to do a lot of things I can't do now. But that doesn't mean I've decided just to stop doing everything. You can serve the Lord even when you're not getting a paycheck. You can serve the Lord even when you can't get out and about. You can still serve the Lord. So we are not to be idle, whatever condition we're in, whatever situation we're in. Warn those who are idle that that's not the ideal lifestyle. It is a sinful lifestyle. Don't be idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. And here comes the real kicker. Be patient with everyone. How are you doing on that score? Say, Lord, I just need to know, what do you want me to do? Well, are you being patient with everyone? No, I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to know what you want me to do. I want you to be patient with everyone. Okay, that's what you're supposed to work on. But I have this decision coming up and I need to know what to do. Be patient with everyone. You work on that. Okay? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Got to try to be kind. Be joyful always. Be joyful. Does that mean that you feel joy all the time? No, it means you be joyful all the time. You focus on that which is lovely and pure, honorable, worthy of praise. Be joyful always. Whenever I'm frustrated and I feel like this is just a terrible day, I try to remember I'm not in hell. And if God gave me what I deserve, that's where I'd be. So I have a lot to be thankful for. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Does that mean you walk around mumbling? No, it means you live in a continual awareness of the presence of God and talking with Him. I'm always talking about the sunset. I'm talking about the sunrise, talking about the clouds, talking about the plants. God made all that stuff, and He sustains it. So I'm complimenting the Lord all day long. I'm telling him, that is beautiful. Lord, thank you for that. When we eat, before we eat, we don't just thank God. We thank God because we know He provided it. Something tastes good, compliment the cook, and thank God. So pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever's going on, give thanks to God. There's always, always reason to be thankful. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. That means God is at work, and sometimes He does it differently than we would have scripted. And when He does, when God is stirring in you and telling you not to do something or to do something, don't quench the Spirit. Don't try and say no to God's prompting. Don't say no to His word. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Now, some people believe that God has completely ended any kind of prophecy today. And that's very important to them because they think that that's how they're going to safeguard God's word. The problem is when they say that, they are disregarding God's word. In an effort to honor His word and say that Scripture is sufficient, which it is, and that God isn't adding anything to the canon, which He's not. It's ignoring the fact that in the canon we learn that God gave these gifts to the church and that there were people in the Old and New Testament who prophesied things that were for a given situation and not for all of time. It wasn't, I used the example a while back, of Simeon, who was told by the Lord that he would live to see the Messiah. And God brought that to pass. Now, are there people today who claim to be prophets and are false prophets? Definitely. That's one of the things the scripture told us to be alert to. So what are we supposed to do? Isn't it easier just to ban prophecy and say, God doesn't do that anymore? Anybody who claims to have a word from the Lord, that's either psychosis or Satan. Well, I think we ought to read this verse again. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. If somebody tells you they've got a word from God that Jesus is not the only way of salvation, you don't have to struggle with whether or not, well, how do I know that's not from God? Because it contradicts God's word. God will never contradict himself. Well, what if it's something saying that it's okay now, the Spirit is doing a new thing, and this particular thing that used to be in the scriptures treated as sinful, now God is saying, no, it's okay. You don't have to wonder about that. Test it, and immediately you know that's contrary to what God says. God explicitly says, those who live this way, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He also says, in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you. It's not that God can't save people from various lifestyles. It's that he doesn't just forgive people. He saves us. He changes us. So, test everything and hold on to the good. There is that which is good. And avoid every kind of evil. Please notice, every kind of evil. And it doesn't say don't plunge into every kind of evil. It says avoid it. If you've ever had poison ivy or poison oak, you don't want to mess with that stuff anymore, do you? Well, think of evil as being worse than poison ivy or poison oak. And if you see it, it's just like, I'm going to go over here. Okay? Avoid it. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Hallelujah. How are we going to get where we need to be? May God do that for us. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God has promised in his word that when I see him face to face, I'm going to be like him. I'm not there yet. I'm becoming more like him. He is changing me from the inside out, but I have not arrived. Philippians chapter 3. I'm still running the race. But here's the thing. I'm not hoping I'm going to win the prize. The prize has already been won for me by Christ Jesus. And he is the one who is at work by his Spirit in me, making me more like Jesus, producing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And I know because of his promise, the one who began a good work in me is going to carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And it says in 1 John, I'm going to be like him. How's that going to happen? Well, it tells us right here. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God's going to accomplish it. We're going to be like Jesus because God's going to make it so. Jesus is the forerunner. He is the one who goes before us and who's already won the prize. So, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And then Paul says, now this is Paul who prayed for sick people and they got healed. This is Paul who cast demons out of people. This is Paul who was used by God in so many miraculous ways in response to prayer. And he says to the Thessalonians, whom he had led to the Lord, he says, pray for us. See, your prayers matter too. People ask me, because God has answered so many prayers in my life, Pastor Wood, would you please pray for me about this? I'm happy to do that. But I would be very unhappy to do that if you thought, because I prayed for you, you don't need to pray. Okay. Oh, I got it covered. I asked Pastor Wood to pray. Well, then you don't understand the way this works at all. I need you to pray for me. We need to pray for one another. Because God doesn't just listen to me. Do you know there's one group in Scripture that gets special attention according to Jesus from the Father? You know who it is? Jesus said concerning little children, see to it you do not look down on one of these little ones. I tell you the truth, their angels see my Father's face every day. Children. God pays special attention to your prayers. He's interested in what you have to say. He doesn't need instructions from you. He wants you to talk with him. We got a phone call this morning. One of my sons asked if he could bring one of his sons by our house because that son wanted to spend a little time with us. And I said, well, I don't know. Let me check with my wife. No. I said, of course. We'd love to see him. Turned out we got two of our grandkids. Okay? We're delighted. We're delighted. They don't come in the door and I say, okay, what is it you wanted? They wanted to see us. We wanted to see them. We're thrilled. I said, can they stay for lunch, please? We want them there. That's the way the Father feels about you. You understand? He loves you. God, the creator of all the universe, the one who put the stars in the sky, the one who made the mountains and the oceans, that God loves you. He really does. He loves you. Not just a little. He loves you so much that he sent his son to pay the debt that you owed and that I owed so that we could be with him forever. So, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. We don't do that anymore. It's like prophecy, doesn't it? What is that saying? Well, we could say, greet one another in a culturally appropriate manner. But here's what you need to take away. And ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'd be uncomfortable if some of these people wanted to come and greet me with a holy kiss. I don't know what holy means, but I don't feel very good about this. I'll tell you this. I am very much of British extraction when it comes to this. And the Norwegians probably even more so. Cold climate people. The British, you know, don't even move their upper lip. That's, they just kind of, because of the weather, John Milton wrote that that's why the English talk the way they do, is because the weather's so bad over there. He said the people with the languages along the Mediterranean, they have a much more musical sound to their speech because they're able to move their lips. Let's be more affectionate. Let's be kinder to one another. Let's greet one another affectionately. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. What is this for? This is not just for these folks. It's for all the believers. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.